Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
First to a voice from the opinion pages who says economists who scoffed at the president's prediction for 3% growth may not be scoffing much longer. Jeff Cox is the finance editor for CNBC, and he wrote about this for CNBC.com. And he's with us today from Bangor, Pennsylvania. Jeff, welcome. It's good to have you on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
President Trump's budget is based on 3% growth. And I have to add here, that's not just the first year. That's year after year after year to make the budget work. What makes you think that that's possible?
Well, just kind of looking at some of the data that we're seeing come through lately, we saw the second quarter GDP numbers get quite a nice boost under the revisions. So that gives a little bit of wind in the sails. The confidence numbers are coming together better. We're seeing more signs, continuing more signs of tightness in the labor market that should be able to project, that should be able to push inflation up a little bit more. Retail sales numbers of late have been pretty good. So you just sort of get that feeling. And on top of all that, we're seeing this kind of coordinated global growth that we've seen for the first time in a very long time. So all of this is kind of adding up and starting to at least get Trump. Maybe if he doesn't get exactly to that 3%, maybe he gets at least he's closer than I think it looked earlier in the year.
It is the case, though, that when you look at the projections in his budget, it isn't just 3% growth for the next couple of years in the budget. It's year after year after year. And when I looked back on some numbers here about how long it's been since that's happened, you have to go back to the 1960s to see sustained 3% year after year growth. I mean, are we really in that kind of an economic atmosphere that we could expect something that hasn't happened for 40, 50 years?
Well, I think you have to look at where we've been over the last decade or so. And the sort of below trend growth that we've seen there, there's so much money that's on the sidelines right now. I mean, we have bank reserves and bank excess reserves of over $2 trillion. We have about $2.8 trillion in money market accounts. We have over $9 trillion in just plain vanilla savings accounts. And you start to look at these numbers, and you start to look at this money, and also we have about $3.5 trillion, or actually probably more than that, in corporate cash that's on the sidelines. So there's so much liquidity out there. There's so much money that we can put to work that hasn't been put to work. We're still in this sort of post-traumatic stress disorder economy where individuals and corporations have been so reticent to actually put capital to work because of the aftershocks that we're still feeling from the financial crisis. So the potential is certainly there. I would absolutely concede your point that anticipating 3% growth to continue year after year after year is very optimistic. And obviously, projecting economic growth is probably more art than it is science. So Trump needs and the U.S. economy needs a whole lot of things to go right to make all of that happen. But I guess my argument is just basically that the potential is certainly there. And there's definitely math that you could use that says, OK, we have basically the equivalent of 1 year's GDP for the U.S. economy that's just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing right now. And if even a fraction of that gets put to work, there's no doubt that we could do that.
So Jeff, let me ask you about that. I'm glad you mentioned that sidelined money for corporations. It's puzzling given what you said off the top about the tight labor market that we're in. Also the fact that corporations are making record profits and the economy looks pretty steady for them, given what's happening with the stock market. Why does this money remain sidelined? And maybe that's just how it's going to be. I mean, do you see a potential situation here where corporations just they hold on to that money and they don't reinvest it the way so many have been predicting they would?
Well, corporations have been notoriously stingy in that regard, no doubt about it. one of the things that I think could really be problematic is this desire to repatriate corporate cash that's being stored overseas right now. As we know, there's about $2.5 trillion in profits that's being stored in other countries, and
this is because of the corporate tax rate, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Trump wants to do something about that, and I think there's a bipartisan effort to do something about that. I'm troubled by the prospect that we could try this experiment again. We tried it once before, back during the George W. Bush years, and in my view, it was a colossal failure because we just basically allowed companies to repatriate that money without any strings attached, just allowed them to bring it back home. And what they did, of course, predictably, was they plowed it mostly into buybacks and dividends. And in fact, a lot of the companies that were the biggest beneficiaries of the repatriation efforts ended up actually cutting staff, believe it or not, which is which is crazy. And I'm really troubled that, and I really hope that if we do follow through with repatriation efforts, that there is some proviso that they've got to use that towards capital expenditures, towards expenditures, towards infrastructure development, towards just things that will actually help their business grow, and not things that will just line the pocket of the 20% of the people who own most of the stock market. So I think that that's very, very important. But again, it just kind of goes back to the original point that that money is there, and bringing it back overseas will. It's not a panacea. It's not something that's going to get you to 3% just by itself. But it is another way that we can really help help boost the economy and help actually do something productive and constructive that could have not just a short-term benefit, but could have long-term benefit as well.
Here's an interesting contradiction, though, of economic factors and Trump political policy in light of this 3% growth that he needs. I mean, one of the things that we know is we would need more American workers, right, to boost GDP. And we know where we get those American workers, often through immigration. And we know what President Trump thinks about immigration. He wants to tighten the limits for immigration. How do we get to 3% growth, given that we need more American workers and the source of where those workers come from, given his political policy on immigration?
Yeah, you kind of don't. I guess where I'm coming from the immigration question is, I think that what ultimately comes out of all of this, I think, is some type of something better than the system that we have now. The president has issued some pretty cryptic tweets that nobody really quite knows what to make of regarding the Dreamers situation. I think that the pragmatic side of him knows that there's no way that we can just go around and start rounding up Dreamers and shipping them out of the country, and I don't think anybody wants to do that.
Forgive me, but specifically to not some of his other policies, but specifically to the economics of this, you also agree that's where we get this boost in GDP. We need more Americans working. How do we usually get that? Immigration. Yeah. I mean, speak directly to the economic factors of that, and then where what he says about immigration fits in.
Yeah, you know, it's the immigration is part of that, but I would not concede that the immigration question is the all of that. I think that, you know, there are still enough sidelined American workers. We still have over 7 million people who are unemployed, and that's just, you know, what the BLS counts as, people who are looking for work. There's no doubt about it that we've seen time and time again from business surveys that there's an issue with skills mismatch. So I think that, you know, if we can address those kind of questions, if we can address the education kind of questions independent of the immigration questions, that we can do, we can help solve a lot of those problems as far as the skills mismatch goes. We're woefully behind there. And I don't think even if we just threw the doors open as far as immigration goes, I still don't think that that gets you where you need to be. I would not accept the the proposal that that immigration completely solves this. I think that we have some fundamental issues as far as the American workforce goes that we have to address as well. So it's a mosaic that you've got to put the whole thing together. Again, I do concede the idea that taking the super hard line on immigration and expecting economic growth is not realistic. But above trend economic growth is not realistic, but I don't think that it's impossible to have.
Okay. Jeff, I really appreciate the time this morning and your views on this. Thank you. Jeff Cox with us. He's the finance editor for CNBC, and he wrote about how President Trump's 3% projected growth in the GDP may not be dreaming after all.